No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Brian.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, welcome to another episode of No, Sir, I Don't Like It. I am your host, Brian Vokey, and here's the other host.
Carmen Morales.
That's right. I forgot your name for a second. There
you go. You almost forgot my name again. He's so good at that. We've been doing this podcast for weeks and weeks, and he just forgets my name every time. Today, we have an incredibly special guest.
Oh, thank you.
Super special.
Super special.
So nice. You both
say. Mr. Josh Wolf.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
You know, when you get intro'd, you kind of expect a little applause afterwards. You know what I mean? Not that I was expecting it from you, but in your brain as a comic.
Yeah, when you hear your name.
Pavlovian
you
might dog.
Have to, yeah. Like, you might have to angle that kind of. Yeah,
like
yeah.
a dick?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, like a hardcore singer.
Well, the premise of this show is that we talk about things that we don't like.
Yeah.
And we have people on and we talk about stuff that they don't like. So I'd like you to tell me some stuff that you don't like.
All right. Well, I mean, I have many, many, many pet peeves. You know, the first one is hearing people chew. But you're not chewing anything. You're just making.
Yeah, if you had what I have on right now, the headphones, yeah. You'd be freaking out. I almost threw an elbow
into
a fucking face.
That would have been clever. I'm not going to lie to you. If out of nowhere you had just reared back and just been like,
boom,
kakak, I'd have been like, oh, this podcast is fucking
it's
happening
intense.
Right
we
now.
Mean it.
Yeah. This should be a video podcast.
Jesus.
We go hardcore here on No Sir, I Don't Like
I
It.
I guess so, mm-hmm. Because when he said, I almost threw an elbow to your face, you did not seem surprised. As a matter of fact, you mimicked being hit in the face and having your head hit the booth like it had happened before. So, did you bring me here for an intervention?
Like, no.
Do you want to talk
no,
it out?
It's functional. Show me it's functional dysfunction. It's great.
You want to show me where he touched you?
I guess it would be my nose.
Yeah, you're looking at
my broken nose.
Face.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good.
Good.
So I'm
good.
More stealthy about it. I hit him with a phone book, so there's no marks.
That's good. You know what else works? When you put oranges in a sock.
Ooh.
Yep. Doesn't leave a bruise.
Well, yeah.
Also, if you oranges in the sock, and then you got to hit him on the bottom of the foot.
On the bottom of the foot?
I had a buddy whose dad, that's how his dad used to punish him, because he didn't want anyone to see the marks.
Mm-hmm.
So he would put oranges in a sock, and he would fucking wail on the bottom of
way
his foot.
Way too premeditated.
Wow.
Zero marks. Some swelling, but zero, you know what
wow.
I mean?
Like, wow.
Oh, you could tell when the dude, he walked like he had just, something had just large and fallen.
Does he have a foot fetish now?
No, he has no foot fetish. But he's a pretty straight up sandal and flip-flop dude. Yeah, he's pretty straight up sandal flip-flop kind of guy. The noise of the person chewing is only second to when you take a bite on a fork and your teeth scrape against
I hate that.
Fucker.
That's like the mouth version of scraping your nails on a chalkboard.
Oh, my God.
It is gross.
Worst thing.
Oh, and just don't you get that feeling just thinking about
mm-hmm.
it?
The back of your neck. Mm-hmm.
And then you want to ask the person who did it, like,
are you okay?
Have you been in public before? Have you been around anybody who says that's okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine doing that. If I loved someone, this is the woman that I'm going to marry. I fucking love her. And she was like, I'm going to do that forever. I'd be like, we can't be together.
Does it bother you that much?
I'm having 3 meals a day with her for the rest of my life.
Scrape,
and I'm
going to
want
to scrape. Yeah.
I'm going to want to choke out the person I'm married to 3 times a day. That can't be healthy.
And it won't just be 3 times eventually.
No, because eventually I'm going to be mad.
About other. Yeah.
And look, I have this thing. Even the hearing people chew, like, drives me. But the fucking. And people who slow walk in front of your car. The slow. You know what I mean? Like, if you're at a crosswalk. Or you're trying to pull out of a space and there's somebody walking and they just do like a slow stroll. And you're like, come on.
It's
man.
Almost like they slow down.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, dude. Be considerate. I always try to
Or at least pretend like I walked faster.
Right.
I'll move my arms faster.
Yeah.
You know, not my legs, but.
Dude, there's There's in Oakland. I used to live in Oakland for a long time, and there's this thing where the young like teenagers, when the light turns red, they start slowly walking in front of your car.
No.
At those moments, I'll vote for Trump. If they had the voting booth in my car at that moment, I would vote for fucking
slam on the accelerator.
When? How long? In the future, until somebody's horn just goes Trump.
You don't think? I bet it's happened.
Somebody's car horn has to say Trump. Absolutely. But I will tell you, I will now. As much of a fan as I am, I mean, as much as I hate that kind of stuff and the slow stroll, one weapon you have in your bag, in your arsenal. I also am a big fan of scaring people and a big fan of practical jokes. Uh-huh. Nothing scares a human being like a car horn, for two reasons. One, it's alarming and it's jarring.
Yep.
But two,
it usually means there's about to be an accident. Yeah.
You're about to die.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's happening that far away, that means there's a car an inch away from me that's honking because I'm about to die. So that scare is so intense. People, the general reaction is it's almost like they're almost jackhammering themselves into the ground. They just shake a little bit and shrink. It is some of the best scare. So what I've started to do, and then I'll wave my hand like, sorry, it was an accident. Like,
fun thing that I've done is for car horns is you ever like, you hold on and then I hold the car horn down and then look around like somebody else
is doing it.
What? Who is doing
it's like
that?
It's like a fart.
Who is doing
it's
that?
Like a fart
on
a plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plane fart.
Yeah, plane farts are the best.
Plane farts are great.
I don't hate those. I like those. I push them right in the cushion and then I save up like 12.
Yeah,
so I've pushed like 12 in the cushion, mm-hmm. and then I just release them like the Kraken.
Yeah,
you know,
you just move.
I just kind of I lean forward like I'm going to look at the magazine in the back of the cover.
Yeah.
And then it just all it takes is like a quarter inch.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And then you just see people hitting the air all around.
Yeah. George Carlin had a great bit about that where he's like, "Oh, good, the seat's the flotation device, so I can float at sea, hugging 12 beer farts until I die."
I used to tell a joke because there was this one time I was on Red Eye, and I don't know about you, but if I can and they don't need me for press, I'll take the Red Eye. I never like to fly in.
I don't mind the Red Eye.
I like it. That's what I mean.
You can sleep.
I can sleep. So one time I'm on the Red Eye, but I must have had a lot of protein that day or something, and I was killing. But like, you know the kind of fart where you almost apologize.
You're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I did. I apologize.
Get you a new ticket. Mm-hmm. Ma'am, I don't know what happened to your makeup, but I'll buy you some new makeup. And I'm killing it. And this dude stands up in the row in front of me. And it's probably 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Most of the people are fucking out.
Out, mm-hmm. sleeping.
He hits the light, gets up, and he turns around. He leans on the seat, and he screams because he doesn't know who's doing it. Hey, whoever's doing that. You stop it right now. And then he was mad because he was right in front of me, so I could see him do the passive aggressive, you know, look over his shoulder
between
the seat thing. So I knew these were keeping him up.
Yeah.
And he was mad. And he started screaming, I paid for this seat too. Dude, I was so proud of myself. You know what I mean? I was like, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
Best thing in the world. But it was
my butt caused a disturbance. Yes, a major literal
disturbance.
Yeah.
Like this dude was.
I appreciate the kind of person who will still stand up and say something. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, the world needs more people like that.
See something, say something.
Isn't that ass terrorist?
Smell something, say something,
I just said something and then we'll get to something I hate right now. I just said something to somebody at Sushi Dan who had their fucking dog in the restaurant, a little lap dog. And the dog, I love my dog. My dog just recently passed, but, you know, we all love our dogs.
Yeah, right. For sure.
There's no reason your dog, unless it's a service dog, needs to be in a restaurant, in a mall. In the grocery store.
No.
It doesn't. And this little dog, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck?
Part of being adult is being able to function in society. And if you can't go to the fucking grocery store without your tiny ass lap dog, then you shouldn't be in society. You really shouldn't. Go live in a cave with your animal, you fucking weirdo.
And on their way out, the dog piddled a little on the floor.
Ooh.
And I stopped them. I go, hey, your dog just peed on the floor. And they're like, yeah, it's just a little. I'm like, it
doesn't matter.
Urine on this. I'm about to eat my fucking food.
There's piss on the floor because of the thing you brought in here.
Thank you. And so for me, like, I'm not saying we need to outlaw it because I don't need to go that far. But like, I love my dog as much as anybody also, loves their dog.
Do you
need the dog at the mall? Is it going to help you pick out shoes? Like, well, why is the dog there?
Well, that's the other thing, too. If you're already being a douche enough that you're going to have, you don't get to be, you're not a sultan. You shouldn't just assume that everybody at Sushi Dan is your indentured servant and they need to clean up after your fucking animal.
Or who wants to eat next to your dog. And people are like, dogs are cleaner than humans. Fuck you, they are.
That's not true.
There's
no way that's true.
They've said a million times, like a dog's mouth is cleaner than a person's.
That doesn't mean a dog itself is, okay?
Or its urine.
Also, have you ever taken a dog to a park? If it finds a dead raccoon, it'll roll in it. There's no way.
It eats shit.
There's no way.
It eats whenever.
Not even just its own. Cat shit, human shit. It doesn't give a shit love the kind shit. Of shit it eats.
And I love it when people try to tell you how smart smart dogs are. Yeah. This is the animal, like, if it's on the wrong side of the parking sign, it can't figure out how to get back to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, but on the leash and it wraps itself around. Yeah.
It's fucking genius. Yeah. Fucking
it's
genius.
Smarter than a, I don't know, maybe a.
It's smarter than you think it's supposed to be. Sure. Because you think it's this tiny piece of shit thing. Yeah, it's not a person. Yeah. So it's got to be dumb. It doesn't know it still knows stuff.
It's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I think dogs are instinctual. I think they know.
They definitely are.
I think they know if you're happy. I think they know if you're sad. I think they know when to give you love. I think they're very instinctual, but I don't think they're smart.
Yeah.
You know? Although some dogs do tricks and shit, but still, that dog also
That's still
eats
all
shit.
Training.
Right.
It's still all training.
Yeah.
I have a very southern perspective on animals where it's like they have a function and that's what they are. And most of them, you don't name them.
Where are you from?
See, I'm from Maine and Georgia, so I grew up in both places.
What part of Maine? My parents live in Maine.
Westbrook, Maine, right next to Portland.
Yeah, my parents just moved up to Kennebunk.
Uh-huh.
It's nice up there.
Yeah, that's the nice part.
It's cold as fuck.
Yeah, Kennebunkport is nothing like the rest of Maine.
Not Kennebunkport, Kennebunk.
Still.
Right next to it. It's still nice. It's decent.
Nice.
Kennebunkport is like where the Kennedys and shit.
Bush.
The bushes.
Yeah, the bushes. Yeah. But there's like, you know... There's half of my brain occupies that part of the world, half of my brain, and I have a very southern thing where it's like, name your dog, but don't name your fucking other animals. And also, most animals, I don't treat them as another person. They're not a kid.
Well, that's the thing is, like, it's you're so fascinated that it's so smart that it did a thing that you taught it to do, but then you can't have a conversation. It's still not a person.
It's an animal.
You can love it, but it's not a fucking person.
I will say now, somebody who's had dogs and kids, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love any pet as much as I love my kids. But, you know, the dog is part of the family. Like, when my dog passed, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But it's nothing like if you're
Are your kids still young?
No, my kids are...
Oh, okay.
My kids are not kids.
They're not kids. I was going to say, that's 25, sad.
25, 23.
Really?
And 20. Yeah.
I didn't know your kids were that. I thought they were younger than that.
25, 23, and 20.
Wow.
Okay, so when okay. You need a little explanation.
Okay.
I met a woman. She had two kids. We had a kid together. I kicked her out, but I kept all three kids. So I kept her two kids and my kid. So the oldest two kids aren't mine biologically, but I've been with them since.
Yeah, so they're your kids.
Yeah. And then my wife, who I married, she came in when none of the kids were hers and just started throwing heat.
Really?
Oh, they're like, fuck, heat. Yeah, it was pretty strong.
Nice.
But like, my kids, I think.
Man, you really like stitched together a really good family.
Yeah, man. You know what? And this is going to sound corny as shit. But you know what I found it just takes? Just, you know, respect and love, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you just genuinely know he's perfect, and I fuck up more than anybody.
Right.
But I respect them, and I love them, and they know they can. Look, my son, he was 16. He told me he started smoking weed. That's not that big of a deal that he was smoking weed, but the fact that he just felt confident enough in our relationship where
to
he
tell
could
you.
Say it
mm-hmm.
at 16.
Yeah.
Told me all I needed to know that, like, oh, he's been picking up the message that I've been putting down there, right?
Right.
Which is be honest with me.
Yeah, man.
We're a family. I'm on your side. I'm not the enemy. That whole thing. Yeah.
Dude, like, and there's sometimes that you'll tell me the truth and I'll be like, you're still in trouble.
Yeah.
Truth doesn't exonerate you.
Right.
Yeah, he's like, I just killed a guy. So no jail, right? No, still jail.
No, still jail.
I appreciate
less
you.
Jail.
I appreciate you coming to me.
Yeah.
But we still got to deal with it.
But that's the whole thing. Yeah. Look, I explained to him once. I'm like, it is just like court. Like, look, if you decide to plea and you don't make the court spend money, go through all that time, they're going to cut you a deal.
Yeah.
You make me go through court,
throwing the book at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that was always the deal. Like, don't, if we go to court, like, just so you know, you can plead your case, but I know the judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think he's going to side with me.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like in real court, it's a scam.
Totally. Planned all the way ahead of time. And you know what? Also, just like in real court, it's the guy with the most money who generally wins.
Yep. I'm gonna guess
Daddy wins.
Yes. Dad has the money. Guess who wins? This uh-huh. motherfucker right
yeah.
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know what else I didn't like so much. This is going to sound terrible. But I didn't like so much when my kids were younger as other people's kids. Because
sure,
that's not a new thing. I think
it's
I think that's
no.
a general thing. I think most people don't like other.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm saying
it's worse if you
like
the other ones more than yours.
Yeah,
that's worse.
That would be bad.
That's
we're like,
really
you,
bad.
You want to stay longer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had this one.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll trade you two for one.
When my son used to hang out with this kid who was super smart, way smarter than my son. So we're at the post office. They were probably five. Or the well, no, not the post office, but one of those little postal annex things that also yes. has cards. Like
yeah, birthday. Sure.
So I'm mailing something, and my son's friend says, mm-hmm. Mr. Wolf. And I turn, and he used to call me Mr. Wolf, the only kid who did. And he read this poetic, beautiful, like heartfelt card. And I was like, yo, man, that was really good. Like, I hadn't heard a kid that age read
talk
like
that. Yeah.
And my son, Jacob, goes, Dad. I go, yeah. And he turns. He goes, look. And he started making fart noises. And I was like, that's good too, buddy. That's good too.
I like mine better.
Somewhere in the middle
yeah,
is the best.
You two should share.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be explaining fascism and tyranny to this kid next year. Like, too much work.
Yeah. I was like, both of you need each other desperately. Right? Yeah.
That's called scaffolding.
Yeah.
What else don't you like?
Oh, me. Oh, I hate mean people, man. I think we met that one time in Omaha, right?
We met in Omaha, yeah.
And I am generally... I like positive vibes. I like good people. I don't like back talk all the time. I don't like sit around people talking shit about each other. I just don't think it moves anything forward.
Right.
It's one of the reasons that I like what's happening right now in our country bothers mm-hmm. the shit out of me because it's trickle down. You know, you work at a job. People generally behave the way the boss behaves.
Right.
Yes.
Because it's what he allows.
Yep.
And now, right? So
if you're also setting a standard of behavior.
100%.
And if you're supposed to be in charge of somebody, if you're in a position of power, if you're a dick, everybody thinks that's how you get up is you're a dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if we look at the last 8 years, in my mind, our president was a little overboard on PC and it spread out through the country.
Mm-hmm.
We were a little too nice mm-hmm. and a little too PC.
Mm-hmm.
Now this dude who's here now,
yeah,
he's at the top. He's basically saying you can say whatever the fuck you want to anybody.
Yeah.
It's the Wild West out there.
Right.
And guess what? You can say it, and then you can just say, I'm tired of being PC. No accountability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. So for me, I think...
So it went from like one extreme to the other?
In my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But mean people, it's the minions out doing the work. That's what's happening right now. There's just tension. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And that's people's individual choices. So the reason I don't like mean people is that's your individual choice to spread that shit around the world every day.
Yeah, like what vibration do you want to pull
out?
Yeah.
Listen, when I walk in the door, the first thing I do after I open it is I look behind me if there's someone there. Because I'm here. I'm not going to be a doorman for the whole day, but...
Yeah, I'll open the door for you.
It's part of the day. Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm going to look behind me just to make sure. If not, it took me a quarter of a second to look over uh-huh. my shoulder. And that quarter of a second passes that to that next person.
Right.
When I left the sushi restaurant and I walked out with one guy and I said thank you to everyone out. The cook, the wait, the woman who came mm-hmm. into the bar, and the dude sitting the door. And he was like, man, you don't have to say thank you to all them. I'm like, it took me 2 seconds. And they were like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the... Just those little things build. So the reason I hate mean people is because they're generally sad motherfuckers who have nothing to do but put other people down, and they spread that shit around, man. It doesn't. It's not good for anybody.
It just bums everybody out.
It does, mm-hmm. dude. Twitter could be so much fun.
Dude, that's part of the reason, like, because when we worked, when we worked at Omaha, mm-hmm. it's the same thing, and it's the same at every club. You're nice to the staff. You're kind to the staff. Everybody's happy to see you again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you go back and shit like that, and it's always like, it's a better environment. Everybody just feels better because they know it's going to be a good time, you know, because you're not going to be there. I don't get the fuck out of the green room. I don't want any of this shit. You know what I mean? Just all of that bullshit. That's just, then it's just like, oh fuck this. Nobody looks forward to that weekend.
No. And
you know,
right. No, you're
and it happens on everywhere. Yeah, it happens on a larger scale too. If you go around being nice to people, hey, fucking have a great day, dude. Whatever, all that shit. All it's all, you know, it's all, yeah.
It all pays forward. So when you walk through a door and you've held it for somebody,
mm-hmm.
they do it for the next person.
For sure.
When you open that door and you let it go, they do the same thing.
It's that whole, like, the Starbucks thing that was going on. Like, I remember I was doing that, too, whenever you go through the drive-thru. Or I've done it at toll booths, too. Like, I want to pay for the person behind me. And then, like, you just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, they're like, oh, shit. No fucking way.
I love doing that. I always do that when I'm in airports.
Mm-hmm.
If I see somebody in like military uniform having lunch or drinks, I always pick up their tab.
Yeah.
Always, always, always. No matter what. Even if I'm not eating at the place and I walk by, I'll just say, what do they get? And we'll pay for it and we'll just keep walking. Don't mm-hmm. have to say anything.
No.
And then there's.
And that's
just
the,
like,
thing. You don't have to. And it doesn't have to be like. Because sometimes, like, oh, you just do that for your. Sometimes you don't even. A lot of times I don't even say anything. It's better if you don't.
Better if you don't, because then
it's a surprise.
And they totally feel like that was a 100% selfless.
Right.
That dude didn't, or woman didn't want any congrats, didn't want to thank you. They just wanted to drop a little fucking happiness. And maybe I'll do that moving forward. That's
the exact reason why I wore my uniform for a full year after I was out of there.
Hilarious.
That's the exact.
Hilarious. I probably bought you and you just hung out at the airport. You didn't have a flight or anything. You just hung out at the
just
airport.
Just bought the cheapest flight and then get bumped up to first class just for the first class ride.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's something I haven't done yet. I worked super hard to get enough miles to where I usually get bumped up.
Right.
Right.
And so people are like, you give your first class seats to the men and women in the uniform.
I'm fuck
like,
that.
No, that's something. I'll buy them a meal. Have fun. Yeah. But I worked like many years to accrue this many amount of miles.
Yeah.
And fuck no. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
I'm stretching my legs.
Yeah. Papa does not want to feel anybody touching his seat.
You don't want that fart in your face. No, that's what you're like, exactly. No, I want only first class farts in my face.
And
that's
you know
it.
What? I want the free almonds. I'll make those motherfuckers up. And plus, I'm usually so high on planes. I like to be super high on a plane.
Yeah, of course.
That's been my new thing is like, because I don't really eat edibles. And then until I started flying from like the red eyes, because before here, I just drove everywhere before I moved to Los Angeles. I wasn't a flyer until I got out here, you know? And out here, flights everywhere. So it's like a lot of them are overnight. So I'll just fucking chew on a Chiba Chew. And man,
I love those Chiba Chews.
Dude, Chiba Chews are off the for a flight. I just literally take a bite out of the triple dose one, and then it's takeoff for me, and then I don't give a shit, and then I'm out until I
the
get
the best. They're my favorite.
Yeah, they're
awesome. I'm on the Ninja Star tip.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, the Ninja Stars.
The 100 milligram ones?
Yeah, they're outrageous.
I get those Decadose. Actually, I think I have one right here. I get the Decadose.
But I don't
Chiba
really know. I'm not even a big edible person, but it's only like ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's only been since I fly with them. That's the best thing when I fly.
Yeah.
Because it's just like a Tootsie Roll. You take a bite out of it.
Yeah.
Night. It's perfect.
I do. There's 180 milligrams mm-hmm. and I'll eat like half of it and I'll get on the plane. I'll do a crossword puzzle. Yo, when you do crossword puzzle high, you know how much shit you get right? Not a lot.
But you fill it up.
Bro, you fill that fucker up.
It's like Sudoku with letters. Dude, you don't care.
You fill it up, too. You're like, that looks right. Oh, that fits. Yeah.
Those are all words.
I don't think unicorn is right, but it fits.
Yeah.
In there.
It's really a fun word. You know what? Yeah. I like unicorns. And then you go on a daydream about
Who
unicorns
is this
for
Will
6 hours.
Will Shorts, motherfucker, telling me that I'm wrong.
Dude. Nothing makes me feel dumber than a crossword puzzle.
Really? I'm in the middle of one right now.
I sometimes Jeopardy will make me feel extra stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
because when you hear the answer, you're like, fuck, I should have known that.
Oh, Jeopardy's
or even worse,
at my house.
How did he know that? I've never heard of that country before. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The country? Where?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like that kind of stuff. But that leads me to another thing I don't like is I think we were discussing stupid people and ignorant people.
Right.
And so I go with ignorant as opposed to stupid. Because stupid you can't fix, and that is just something is what
ignorant
is
just a lack of knowledge. Stupid is like is to me like
it's a condition.
You're born dumb, maybe.
Yeah, you just can't. The
Some
brain
people are not that smart.
The brain ain't snapping.
What, being incapable of like learning new information, I would consider that stupid. But just because you don't know something, to me, that's ignorant. And it's not a bad thing. I think like ignorant has a lot of negative connotations that are put on it. But like for instance, like I don't know, like for instance, like racism, right? There's a difference between ignorant racism and hateful racism. So if you take somebody who's from middle of fuck nowhere, in the middle of the country, who's never seen a black person, mm-hmm. because they're just because there aren't any around them. You know what I mean?
Why are you just staring at me?
I'm
just kidding.
You're not from there.
No.
But you know, then they're not gonna understand.
That's ignorant. Yes.
You know what I mean? But if you're from a place like, say, Atlanta, and you hate black people, that's completely different. That's not ignorant. That's you, like...
I just think nowadays, though, with all the technology and all how connected we are, that if you're ignorant on a lot of this stuff, yeah, it's really your fault.
It's different, though.
How?
It's different,
how?
Though.
Like what would make them want to, like, have to know all of that shit?
Because there's so school, much exposure to it. And you're no longer living in a world where you just
so
walk around...
It's so exposure to you, where you're at. But that's what
She's
I'm saying.
Right.
Where they're at, it's not. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's why a lot of people voted for Trump. They didn't fucking know. Like, they don't know about all of this shit.
I have a friend in Wisconsin, right? And so, and he voted for Obama both times. He voted for Trump this year. And I was like, what's the deal, dude? And he said a couple things. He said, first of all, he said, I got to ask you a question. That transsexual bathroom thing, he said, is that real? I go, what do you mean? Of course it's real. He was like, but why are we fighting? There's like 8 of them in the country, right? I'm like, no, dude. And I go, and even if there were only 8.
Ignorance.
I go, even if there were only 8, we're talking about human beings, civil rights. And he said, this is the problem with where the Democratic Party is. He said, it's not real to me. What you're talking about is a make-believe person. And all I'm reading about in the papers and on the news is how you guys are fighting for these make-believe people, and my family is starving, and I'm a Democrat. Fuck you.
Is his family really starving?
He's having trouble finding work.
Yeah.
He's like, and so his thing was... There's a wide group of people, and to her point is that it can be on the internet and it can be online and you can watch basketball and be like, I see black people, but if you don't interact with gay folks or brown people or transsexual, there's a certain level of fear because the only thing you're getting is what you see on TV. That's which is stereotypical.
Which is a fucking weird,
yeah.
Like a weird bullshit. Like it's all of it's extreme because they want people to watch it, way to view the world. Like
I have so much. I have no. I'm from a town of 17,000 people. I have no sympathy for the other. Like,
but agreed, it was but in Georgia where there is a ton of black people. Are you talking about Maine? Oh,
no, there's 96% white.
But you spend most of your
4% really
you spend
white.
Most of your life not there.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that by the time I was 13 and I moved out of Maine, I wasn't like the other kids. I grew up in one of those environments and I rose above it. And I just don't. I hold everybody the same standard I hold myself to. I have no fucking sympathy for fucking bumblestick ass fucker.
They're not asking for sympathy.
It's not sympathy, but it's understanding. Yeah. Like there's people that you.
But I'm saying
with.
This ignorance. You're like it's just I don't like.
Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you this thing. Okay, so there's this. In the past, there had been a popular misconception about there shouldn't be gays in the Boy Scouts because the gay folks are going to have sex with the boys.
Right. Which so they just naturally between a pedophile
right,
and a gay person.
We're naturally assumed. Yeah. But these are people who are ignorant to who gay people are. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
That, to me, that was a clear sign of, oh, well, they clearly have never been around gay people to think that just gay people are pedophiles. Right, so that's what I mean. Like,
but
you got out though.
But even as a kid growing up in these cities, like I mean, in these towns, like I never participated in this kind of like I would put myself in other people's shoes, and I'm not smart. I'm not extraordinarily smart.
You don't have to tell me that.
Yeah, exactly. You can see it in my big giant eyes. You don't have eyes. There's no room for brains. It's all eyes in my skull.
Yeah, when you always look surprised.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Here's the difference. I think stupid people can't be taught, and I think ignorant people can't.
I agree.
Exactly.
With that's what we're
why
saying.
I'm harder
that's what
I'm on ignorant people
agreed.
Than I am on stupid people.
Agreed.
I don't think you need to be harder. I think you need to be more patient because those are the people you can actually change their mind.
Yeah, but they're.
Because
but,
they don't know.
But
that
ignorance
guy,
is a choice. Ignorance is a choice.
How? I think it's a lack of knowledge. There's so much information available to you now.
And experiences. So
but
and
that's what you guys aren't taking into consideration, that if people are just focusing on their own fucking life, they're not doing term papers and research to find out about this shit.
Totally.
All they're getting is the shit what's on the news. You know what I mean? What's on their Facebook feed? That's all of the information that they're consuming.
Yeah, but stupid people are just stupid. And so they can't help being stupid. You can help being racist. You can help being misogynistic. And you can help being fucking...
I don't think that's my point.
I absolutely agree. And I don't think it's an excuse. I'm saying that there's a difference. And I think those are the people that you shouldn't just lash out and call racist or xenophobic or anything like that. You should have a conversation with these people and enlighten them.
Yeah,
if you're smarter than them, if you were different from those kids that you grew up with in that white ass fucking town, you're the one that should tell them.
Just so you know.
But here's your point.
It shouldn't just be like you guys should all just know the shit that I know.
Nobody's saying that for sure. But they should look. If a white dude goes back to bumfuck Georgia and is like, "Hey, black people are cool," it's still gonna be. Mm-mm. They need the experience. That's the only way to do it. And the only way you don't have the only way. If you're a human being, you can choose to or not to have an experience. You can choose to or not to be ignorant on a topic. So for me, the stupid person doesn't have a choice.
Right.
And I'm not saying, well, let's kill all ignorant people and just say you need to figure it out on your own. But I hold them more accountable than I do the stupid people.
But that's what I'm saying.
You don't know if somebody's ignorant or stupid until you try to talk to them about it.
But what I'm saying is, you have these narratives that you're saying, where you're saying that if people are too busy trying to feed their families, trying to work, then they're ignorant. But for me, it's my job to educate these people. I'm not too busy trying to fucking feed I don't accept the excuse that just because you have to work 40 hours a week to put food on the table, then that's a reasonable excuse to not understand why black people should be able to drink out of the same water fountain as you.
But that's what I don't think it is that. Because I've talked to a lot of ignorant people where they're like, I think gay people should be able to do whatever they want to do just as long as they don't want to fuck me. You know what I'm saying? That's an ignorant thought.
I don't think that is an ignorant thought. I think that's an accepting, open-minded thought.
I do too.
But that's...
You just gave it a Southern accent.
No, but I'm...
You said an open-minded thing in a Southern accent, and therefore it's ignorant.
It actually sounded more ignorant.
It is.
Because of the accent.
Because the assumption that all gay people want to fuck them is ignorant. That is ignorant.
Yes.
If gay people can marry whoever they want, I just don't want them to fuck me. That is still an ignorant thing to say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is you should be able to be like, hey, dude, just so you know that none of them want to fuck you, by the way.
You saying no gay people want to fuck us?
Not us. This proverbial person that's hypothetical.
Why does no gay person want to? Who is this person?
Yeah, I mean,
but
what's
I'm saying
wrong with
the assumption. The assumption
I'm
of that.
I'm not great, but I'm not terrible.
That is ignorant.
I'm no Brad Pitt, but I'm not fucking Danny DeVito either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not one person out there for me.
All right, can both of you check your egos for a second? We're talking about ignorance.
We're talking about Breckenmeyer now.
Breckenmeyer, guys, is my symbol. So I'm a little weird.
Okay.
And so if I go to the gym and I'm a little not motivated, I pick somebody at the gym to hate. I'll pick their shorts, their stupid shorts, or some stupid shirt, or if they're talking on the phone. Oh, I'm like this mother.
Yeah.
And it just gives me, it's a little hate lifting.
Hate lifting, yep.
So a long time ago, there's a guy named Breckenmeyer who beat me out for a pilot. And I was like, who is this motherfucker? And I kind of looked him up, and he was just the dude who's done everything and
yeah,
been in a zillion pilots mm-hmm. and been in a zillion movies. And I'm like, and after sitting next to him in the casting office, I decided, this dude's got nothing on me. He's going to be my motivation. Because every time I saw him doing something, I was like, got to work harder. Fucking Breckenmeyer. You know what I mean? And so, and by the way, by all accounts, by everybody I've talked to, super good guy. Like a genuinely really nice guy.
And you've talked to thousands of people about him.
Oh.
I love that by everybody I've talked to.
Yeah, I've talked about him?
Yeah.
Oh, I've asked about him.
Yeah, I
you
believe
don't think
it.
I have?
Oh, I believe
oh,
it.
I'm
I
certain you have.
I 100% believe
you. There was a guy that I know that did a pilot with him. I go, hey, because I just wanted to hear.
You wanted to hear he was a piece of shit.
Oh, my God. I wanted to hear.
It would have been the best thing. Yeah. Tell me he touches children. Tell me.
Exactly.
He punched the staff.
Oh, I was like, just tell me he walks around with his nuts out and says, stroke the shaft or something like that.
Yeah.
So I said to my buddy, hey, how was this pilot? He goes, good. I go, how do you like it? He says, everything's got a shot. I go, yeah. I go, what's the deal with Breckenmeyer? And he leans in. As soon as he leaned in, I was like, oh,
this is it. This is my moment.
This is my fucking Breckenmeyer moment.
He's a Nazi.
And he leans in. It turns out he was just adjusting a seat. And he goes, he's a really great guy. And I was like, motherfucker. I go, really? He goes, dude, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Like a genuinely sweet dude. He goes, why do you ask? Do you know him? I'm like, no, I don't know him. He goes, you want to meet him? I'm like, no.
You want to meet him.
Breckenmeyer.
Yeah.
That mother. But you know what the funny thing is? My buddy's the one who ended up getting fired and recast on the pilot. So apparently somebody must have thought he was the asshole.
Ooh.
Maybe it was fucking Breckenmeyer.
Maybe true. It was him.
Maybe they fired everybody and casted him for all the roles, like Multiplicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
More Breckenmeyer, please.
You know what else I really hate?
What?
I hate sports fans, and I'm a huge sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
I hate sports fans who take sports too seriously. Anybody who's fighting at a sports game, if you're fighting over the game.
Oh, so you mean everybody in Philly?
If you're fighting at a game because you don't like the other team.
Also don't go to a soccer game in the UK either.
Where they lob urine balloons at each other?
Yeah.
It makes zero sense to me. Like, if you're
most of it's illogical. It's all just fucking gladiator bullshit.
And it's all dudes who are wearing game jerseys with their last names on it. You're like, you're not playing today, dude. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's the other thing, too, is it's like so like marinated in masculinity, but it's still grown men wearing other grown men's names on their back.
I mean, I get the
like a girlfriend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like a girlfriend. Yes, it's exactly right. Yeah. It's not normal.
The logic behind it is that these people know that their time has passed. They'll never be able to attach themselves to something great in their mind, and so this is as close to greatness as they can get. This laundry, this.
Dude, 18 years old too is when I would say is the oldest you should be able to put on a game jersey and go to a game. Like, if you're a grown man, you walk in, they should be like, how old are you? 32. You can't wear that in here. Like, you can't wear that in here. Like, you're a grown up. That's like if you're a grown person and you bring your baseball glove to the baseball game, that's not okay. And you're not with a kid and you have a glove on your hand, that's not okay.
No.
Like, that is like 100% not okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Grown up, glove, no kid.
Right. That's really weird.
Yeah.
You're worried about gays and the Boy Scouts. Let's worry about these people.
Yeah, like, they're the real fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
I talked to one guy, and we were up in the stands. I'm like, hey, man, what's with the glove? And he was like, just a crazy foul ball comes. I'm like, we're like 400 feet away. Like, you don't think you'll see it coming, or what's the deal? You don't think
your grown man hand can't handle it?
Yeah, you're not going to have prep time? And he's like, I want to be able to catch the ball. I'm like, you think you're just going to be able to stand gently under a ball? Have you not seen how it works out here? It's the bleachers in Fenway.
Yeah.
Like, good luck standing still with your arm in the air.
Yeah.
Shit is going down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because there's other sports fans here that also take it too seriously.
Yes.
And they're going to maul you for that ball.
Yes. Yes. They are going to jump on your back. They're going to push you down. And like I said,
as far as the Red Sox are concerned, I'm tired of the media portraying us as us Red Sox fans as the only racist.
You're a Red Sox fan?
He's from Maine.
Yeah.
He
picked the Sox over the Braves. It was a good move.
We're not the only team with racist fans.
No,
I'm so sick of that narrative.
By the way, we're not the only racist city. However, there's racism in every city. However, Boston fans at Fenway have been known to be a little more disrespectful than. We have to own that a little. I've been known to be a little more disrespectful than your average fan.
Right.
Now, even in Yankee Stadium, I took my dad. We got these great seats back when I was on a television show. And
oh, it'd be so great if you just started crying now. No, sir, I don't like that. Yeah. I can't handle a grown man crying around me.
I'm not. You know what I cry during? I for whatever reason, I don't. You know, you could tell me a story, I wouldn't cry. Movies and really and like powerful sporting events.
Yeah.
Sporting events like can get me.
Like the ESPN spotlights when they have they had the dude that was like mentally challenged and then they put him in the game and he wins and how do you not cry?
I know.
Those could go too far. Did you see the blind kid playing football? It's fucking hilarious. No, it's fucking hilarious.
No, I didn't see it's, it.
I'll show you after.
How did they?
You'll see.
Oh, I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, everybody who's listening, watch the blind kid playing football. You is can just
you,
Google
is that.
That
you Google?
Yeah.
I'm going to feel like an asshole Googling that. But I'm gonna Google
It's a little too, it's like, it goes beyond tugging at your heartstrings, and it just makes
I
you
feel
laugh.
Like what those,
if I jerk
those...
off to it? Would that be weird?
No. Well, it's a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then a kid.
But he's wearing a helmet, so.
No.
Could be a midget.
But I think those are outlets that are, I think those spotlights were created for places for you guys to be able to feel comfortable
absolutely.
About crying. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I have had no issue with crying except one time. I was watching Switch. Remember that Adam Sandler movie with...
Oh, with the remote control?
Where are we going with this?
Okay. Whoa, all right. Ready? Interesting movie to cry.
Well, there's a lot of... So what gets me crying in movies, sports... Or father-son
father shit. I knew it was going to be father shit.
So father-son moments, like the movie Billy Madison. I don't know if you ever saw Billy Madison.
Yeah, of course.
Like a pussy. I cried probably five different times during that movie.
Yeah.
And by the way, I was on a first date.
Oh, no. You cried like a little bitch on a date?
Billy Madison.
It was the...
Did you guys fuck?
No.
How was the second date?
There was no second date.
I wonder why.
I'm watching Switch with my son. And I'm not like, I'm really not an emotional dude, but there's something about when I get locked in, just sitting and I get invested in something. And the father-son stuff just kills me. So there's one scene with the father and son, and there's just a little tear, and my son, who was probably, my oldest was probably 14 at the time, he leans over and he goes, "Are you crying?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Get it together."
Your son sounds hot. Yeah. Can you give him my number?
And I was like, "That's okay. Copy that." He goes, "Not the movie to cry." And I'm like, "Yeah, got it." You don't have to tell me again.
So
yeah,
Adam Sandler.
I do, yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's for me, awesome.
Like, there's something about having sons and wanting to have certain moments. And every father-son moment has this different thing that you... either wish you could have with your son or are glad you have with your son.
Right.
And each hit equally hard.
Yeah.
Like there are other things that I don't cry about. Like, you know, like I'm never that invested when somebody dies in a movie. Unless it's like a father-son situation where I'm like, oh, that could be me.
What's your relationship with your dad? Do you have a good relationship with your dad? Is that why?
Way better now.
So it was rocky, and that's probably why.
Yeah.
You probably also want that moment with you want it with your son, but you also wanted moments with your dad.
Yeah, So for my dad didn't say I love you until after his dad died.
Uh-huh.
I think something in him really just...
Yeah, yeah.
But he says it every time he hangs with the phone now and every, like...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure when his dad died, he was like, oh, we never really...
Oh, shit, all of the stuff that my dad didn't do for me, I'm not doing for my son, and I need to do that for my son now.
Or I didn't tell my dad I loved him enough because that's not the dude I am. I'm going to make sure my kids know.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of what I think where he hit, where he was like, fuck, I haven't said... He died without me being able to say that enough times to him. So he does say it a bunch. When I was growing up, I was mama's boy 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I remember telling my mom when I was like 14, I don't think I like that. I remember telling her that. We were in the car. And she was like, that'll change. I'm like, I don't fucking think so. I don't really like that dude. And I was really close to my mom. And then there was a period of time where I was just kind of, you know, I'd call every now and then, but I just was doing shit. I was single, raising three kids. I was fucking mired. I was made $1,000 a month, so I was not making any money.
Right.
And I was just mired in it, and I just didn't have any energy to export to anybody else.
Right.
But then when I got back in touch with my parents, it ended up being more my dad. Like, I jived more than my dad. I'm not sure why that happened. I'm not sure why. But my dad has they have interesting senses of humor. Like my dad, when I was living in that one room, the bedroom was the living room, which is the dining room, which is the kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
And we walk in and my dad walks in and he sees like, you know, sleeping bags and a crib and like a dirty, like shit all over the place. And he just clearly, there are too many people sleeping in this one little area.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks in and he looks at me and he goes, "You know, you're pretty close to being Puerto Rican. I'm going back to the hotel." And I was like, I go, God, God. He goes, you can visit me at the hotel, but probably not coming back here. I'm like, don't blame me. Don't blame me. Don't blame me. But yeah. It was weird how that changed. But you were close to your parents?
I still am. Close. I mean, more. My dad is crazy, so it's touch and go with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up until recently, like, him and I actually finally got to a relationship where it was, like, cool, you know? Because I had, like, there was a lot of shit I had to let go because of mental illness or whatever, you know?
His
then,
or yours?
Huh.
His.
And
valid question.
Shut up.
No. Yeah. More than you know.
Yeah.
Fuck you, I'm not crazy. It's the funniest way to say it. Yeah. But I haven't spoken to him since December. Like we're on the outs right now. Got and he's tried to contact me, but he's on ice with me. And it's cuz he won't apologize. And that's something he needs to get over.
Oh yeah.
And fucking apologize. I'm not doing it. He sent me like some sappy, and my dad doesn't text. He's maybe sent like 6 text messages in his whole life. And he text messaged me like, you know, if you were falling in a volcano, I would jump down after you, all this other shit. And I just responded, that's not an apology. And that's it.
That's his apology, huh?
Yeah. But
his apology is telling you how much he loves you.
Yeah. But he does that shit all the time.
Yeah.
It's not a fucking apology.
No, I'm
you gotta be a grown ass man and say you're sorry and admit when you fuck up.
Yeah, I think if you yelled at me like that, I would definitely say I'm sorry, even if I didn't do anything.
I know. I felt like apologizing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm super sorry for whatever he did. I'm going to apologize right now. Yeah, there was like a switch that turned.
Yeah.
And you're like, you better. I'm like, yeah, that fucking guy.
Let's get him.
You close to your parents?
My mom's dead, but my that brought me and my dad together. We had a very rough go.
How old were you?
I was 19 or 20.
Shit.
Yeah, and... it was cancer. And so I was super close to my mom, and me and my dad were real butt heads hard.
Yeah.
But then when I saw him, because he cheated on her, they divorced for a little. I lived with another. I hadn't been an adult yet. I didn't understand mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I crucified him for it. I thought I told my mom she was weak for taking him back. Shit like that.
When he was nine. Wait, how old were you?
Well, I was probably 12, 13.
Yeah, because you don't get it.
Right.
Yeah,
and then my mom got sick and I saw my dad bend over backwards and break himself and not sleep for the entire time she was sick taking care of her. And I was like, oh no, this guy made a mistake. He loves her. And that's real. And I like, he became my hero when I saw him taking care of my mother. And you know, when I was helping. And now we're as close as I talk to him every day.
That's super cool, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I noticed I didn't cry. I was close. I was close. No.
Yeah, yeah. But when you're a kid, you don't understand life's messy. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And then you get older and you realize life's messy. This guy is he's as stand up as he can be. And like, also my dad is from, he grew up in the projects in Portland, Maine, and he's from absolute destitute poverty.
Yeah.
And he's the only one who broke the cycle. All his brothers and sisters are gnarly. And he's like, he's a really stand up dude.
Well, maybe that's why you broke the cycle of your small little town, dude.
Yeah. No,
maybe
it's so. True.
Maybe
it's
so.
True. Yeah. 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 No, he gave me, he's a good role model. He screwed up here and there, but who doesn't? You know?
No, you know, it's one of the things.
That is something that's fucked up about, like, that I don't like about our own, like, human processes. Like, when we're children, we have our parents up on this fucking pedestal because they were the things that created us, you know? So we have all of these ridiculous expectations. And then when they make mistakes, it's like, well, especially now, like my generation of people, it's like you're just supposed to blame your parents for everything, but never acknowledging the fact that they're humans and that they don't. No, nobody. There is no book. There is no book on how to parent. There is no. There is no guidance.
And all
you have is the bullshit that you know your parents did to help you learn from that.
Yeah.
And like that's all you really have. You know, so it's like it seems unrealistic. Like now it's
so unrealistic. And the important thing, like that, it took me. First of all, that first day when you realize, oh, my parents are people.
Uh huh.
Such a revelation, dude, and it's so relieving.
It's hard.
It is very hard.
It's freeing though for you.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, right, mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah.
And the other thing to remember, and I had to learn this with my ex, right? I stopped referring to people as bad parents because most people who are bad parents aren't bad parents. They're just as good as they can be.
Right.
I would say, like, some people might look at what your dad's doing and be like, bad. He's doing the best he can do.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And so it goes back to that mean thing, right? So I try to put a positive spin on it. Like, this isn't a bad person. they truly are just doing the best they can do. Which
I mean, sure,
not
Charles
okay.
Manson's mom right. still loves Charles, dude, you know?
Now, there are sociopaths.
If you want to put a positive spin on everything, no, there are some things that needs to absolutely. Be like needs to be fixed, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely, but my ex, like, she was just an addict, man. Mm-hmm. And she yeah. did just the best she could do. Was she? Did she fuck up? Yeah. Did she make mistakes? Fuck yeah. And do I excuse them for that? No, but people don't need to, you don't need to be demonized.
Exactly.
For just not living up to somebody else's standard.
Well, because that's the whole thing is that people, you're not supposed to define people by the mistakes that they make. It's a full person.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And the good parts. And that's why, like, I mean, I'm friends with a ton of addicts, alcoholics. I mean, we're in the business of it, yeah. you know? So, and it's like, and I've seen friends of mine who are addicts try to raise kids and, at first, it was like, you can't have your kids and booze it too. Like, yeah. you just can't, you're not good at this.
Yeah.
You can't do it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And then you can see, and you see the effort and like their heart, like they still like love, it's all of those things. And it's like, you can't, it's hard to demonize them when you're that close, you know? And that was like, seeing that was kind of what made me realize that my parents were people, is like when I saw a bunch of my friends be parents. And then I was like, oh fuck, you guys are just trying and figuring this That's out. It. You have no idea what you're doing. Nobody has any fucking idea what they're doing.
Listen, you, everything else you need, if you're going to get something, there's a license or a permit. Shit, even strippers need to audition.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They just give you a baby and you yeah. just walk away with it. Like, what? I remember that first bath. I was like, what the fuck are we going to do with this little thing? You know,
you have no
8
idea.
Pounds and slippery yeah. as shit. And you're like, I'm going to, and you feel like if I hold them too tightly, I'm going to crush them, but they're going to slip out of my hand yeah. like a little eel. So I was like,
that's why, like,
just no bath
the more
the
kids
year.
People have, the more lax yeah. they are with how they take care
100%.
Of them. You know what I mean? Any, the youngest child of any huge group of family, I was like, I don't think my parents knew I was a kid. I was their kid.
Obviously,
I was just there.
Boys.
Exactly.
And their rule was like, hey, just don't listen. If you die, that'd be terrible. So try not to do that.
Don't die, but more importantly, don't get arrested.
Don't get arrested. Don't get anyone pregnant.
But I remember when I was little, my dad used to say, I wish I had like 7 or 8 kids, so if I lost a couple, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. He's like, you're the only one I have, so you have to fucking not die.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thanks.
Yeah. You're putting that on me?
Thanks,
or are you
going
to have something to do with that? Or, part of it has to do with you, just so you know. Not just me. So I'm 3, so.
Yeah. You fucking lunatic. He's such a crazy
person. I'm 3, so. Now, here's what I do love.
He's not wrong.
No.
He's not wrong.
No.
I know. And that was the thing is like, it's like at the time I didn't get it. I was like, that's fucked up that you wouldn't care if 3 of your kids died. But now I'm like, that makes sense. It would be less hard if you had a bunch of other unconditional
love.
There
was love. A little bit of a cushion.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe even name your 8th kid Cushion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where's Cushion? Come on over here,
Call
dude.
Call him Cushy for short. Come here, Cushy.
Come on, Cush.
Dude, this whole conversation is reminding me of my favorite Dave Attell joke, which is when you find out your dad is just a dad, just a person. Do you remember when you were a kid and you thought your dad was Superman and then you find out he's just a drunk with a cape on?
God damn it, Dave Attell is so brilliant.
I feel like that sums up what we're talking about.
Favorite Attell joke is, if you ever see a grown man running naked towards you down the street, turn and run with him because something really bad is behind. Yeah, because you never see grown men naked running.
No, that's not a thing. Grown men not naked in public. Grown men not running.
Yes.
Yep.
Both of those things are definitely no goes for adult males.
Yes. By the way, you know what? You know what happened? First of all, somebody was picking their toenails on the plane the other day.
Oh, and you love that. That's your favorite? You like that?
Oh, my fucking.
Cut their fingers and toes off.
Ugh.
Cutting, like, just picking at them. And just they were flicking. And I go, hey, man.
That's so gross.
You said something?
I don't.
Yeah, dude.
Of course.
Like says, I don't, listen, we're on this rock together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and you can pick your toenails at your apartment. Or in your car, or any space that starts with your.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you come into my bubble.
But not our, not our plane.
No, no.
Not our section.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no.
Yeah, do you own
that plane?
So
what'd you say to him?
I go, hey, man, that's not okay. And he's like, I'm just picking him. I go, oh, no, I know what you're doing.
Like, yeah, I don't need you to. I'm not confused about what's happening in front of me.
I
it's still disgusting.
What's happening? And he was like, yo, this is kind of my area. I go, no. Like our
he
area.
Said that? Yeah. It's kind of my area?
It's kind of my area. He goes, I'm keeping them contained. I go, no. Nobody picks their nails and knows where they all go.
No, first class? That's not true.
Yeah. I go, it's really gross.
Oh, that's
man.
Disgusting.
I said, it's really gross. And he goes, well, you know, and he had a guy in the window sitting next to him. And I was on the... I was actually in the window. The dude in the aisle next to me wouldn't say anything. So I was leaning over.
You're leaning over.
And he goes, the guy, you know, I got a seatmate here who doesn't seem to mind. And I looked over. I'm like, he's sleeping. Like yeah. he would fucking
he
totally
even
mind.
Know. He doesn't even know the you grossness that's happening
about
him.
You could right now. Dude. He wouldn't say anything.
And he turned to the guy next to me and he goes, do you mind? And he goes, I do actually mind a lot. Like, I mean, I mind a lot. Like, it's pretty
it's
gross.
Fucking nasty.
You don't do that.
It's not your plane.
No. Even if it was your plane, if there were 10 other people sitting with you, what's the urgency?
You wouldn't
what's
do that.
What's happening on your foot that is so fucking
think
gross?
About all the things that happen on a plane. You eat on a plane. Yeah. You drink on a plane. You wouldn't do that at a restaurant. You wouldn't do that at, you wouldn't do that at your friend's house. You wouldn't do that in pub, like
it's
in a public place.
It's all recycled air in there.
It's fucking gross.
Yeah, toe air.
No, toe air. And you know that's another thing, like, I've never been into, like, you know, guys who are like, what do her feet look like?
Personal grooming in public
what her
in
feet
general.
Look like, that's never been my...
No, I'll leave your socks on.
But when people are, when people, when guys, some guys are really into feet. And yeah. I'm like, listen.
It's the most, by the way, just so you guys both know, it's one of the most popular fetishes of all of them.
I don't even get it.
No, I want to fuck their sheet like a Hasid.
I don't know what's, yeah.
I do. I don't want to even see your eyes.
I don't need, no, listen, I didn't know my wife had
such
feet.
Such a fucking
weirdo. Yeah. Yeah, just cut a hole for the hole.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
this, I don't need to know what she looks like. I don't need to know anything other than where it goes.
Yes. Yeah. I want a nice pastel floral sheet put over you.
Paisley. Put a little
just
paisley
so you don't see
on
any
it.
Stains. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just thought Breckin Meyer fucked. Yeah. Threw a hole in his sheet.
Absolutely. He doesn't understand love. Breckin Meyer.
No.
That's how he gets all these roles. He's a sociopath.
You think that's what it is?
Yep.
Do you know what I used to do to try to get roles?
I love that you're feeding into this bullshit.
Do you know what I used to do to try to get roles? So my cousin is a guy named Scott Wolf who used to be on a show called Party of Five, right?
Uh-huh.
And there was at a time it was the biggest show.
I remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We
I'm
know.
Very familiar.
Okay, okay.
Not only with the show, but also
we're
Scott
we're
Wolf.
We're 30-something.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay, okay. So yeah. I used to be like, hey, Scott, will you come to an audition with me and sit in the lobby? And he was like, that's stupid. And I was like, yeah, just come hang out. But why I wanted to do it was... You know, I knew if I walked into that mm-hmm. lobby, people would be like, Scott Wolf, what's he doing here? And
yeah.
fucking get in their head. He's not going in to read. Like, he's not reading in for role of attendant. Do you right. know what I mean? Like,
he's a guy number two. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting in people's heads.
Oh, I mean, it didn't. By the way, let me just tell you, it didn't work once. I think that was karma.
Did you ever
like,
try
hey,
Dick Wolf?
You. Dick Wolf?
Did you try him? Are you related to Dick Wolf?
I'm not, and I just can't associate in this time of age. If your name is Dick... You just got to change it. Like, you couldn't get into business right now if your name was Dick Van Dyke.
No.
Penis Von Lesbian? Like who
Dick and Dyke.
Dick Van
Dyke. Dick and
Dyke. Yeah, you're going to have to change it. You're going to have to change at least one of them.
You couldn't be Dick Van Dyke right now.
No.
You
no.
couldn't be. There used to be a guy who pitched for the Red Sox and he was a coach for the Giants. His name was Dick Pole. Why?
There was a NASCAR driver named Dick Trickle.
Great name.
Oh, Dick Trickles is a great name, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dick but Trickle's funny.
Do you think when they named... So to me, the parents had to have a great sense of humor.
You think?
I think they... If your last name is Trickle, and you name
but
your
name
kid...
But his name was Richard, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Say that out loud, too. Richard Trickle is
Richard
still
Trickle?
Not a good name.
No, yeah, it just
not.
Sounds a fancy way to say Dick Trickle. Yeah. It's like...
That's a gussied up Dick
yeah.
Trickle.
It's Thurston Dick
Howell's
Trissel,
like, oh,
yeah.
Dick Trissel. You know, yeah,
it's like, just Dick Trissel with an English accent.
Richard Trickle.
You could call me Dick.
Yeah, that's where it came in. And so I think Dick Trickle has to be a dude, to me, with a great sense of humor. He had to know that the reason... You know, on SportsCenter, when he raced,
mm-hmm.
they would mention what place he came in every race.
Because mm-hmm.
they got to say...
Dick Trickle on the air, of course.
Dick Trickle.
That's just yeah. way more
genius.
PR, man.
Genius.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm going to change my name to...
Dick Wolf?
Dick.
Dick Wolf's taken.
Yeah.
Oh, right, that's right. Cock Wolf?
How about Dick Tickle?
Oh, ooh, Dick Tickle Dick is Tickle. Hilarious.
Because I'm a comedian.
No, yeah, yeah,
right.
yeah.
So to get the smile and the laugh in there and coming to the stage, Dick tickle. Hey, everybody. You tell me I couldn't sell a couple dick tickle t-shirts?
Absolutely.
I would sell out of dick tickle t-shirts.
Yep. Yes.
You just, I saw dick tickle live.
Yeah,
you can sell t-shirts and say
I came for dick tickle?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I
sell them. Sell all of them.
It would be dick tickle would be like.
What's great is you could do a bit about Dick Tickle and still sell the t-shirt that said I came for Dick Tickle.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, I came for Dick Tickle and all I got with this t-shirt.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Listen.
This rag.
Yeah. Sell a rag. And I would call my t-shirts the nut rag.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's what it's going to be used for anyway.
Yeah, a little Dick Tickle. Dick Tickle, not a terrible name.
Well, what do you tell everybody where to find you?
ComedianJoshWolf.com for tour dates. And
he tours all the time. He's everywhere. You're everywhere.
My sister just saw you at the Comedy Zone.
Did she have a good time?
She had a great time. She said she got nervous when he busted out a guitar, and it actually was really great.
Yeah, you know, I do different. Like, so I'm not like a.
Because when I worked with you, I don't think you did guitar at all.
They were really funny. She also said the feature was really funny too.
But that was very funny.
Yeah. We were in the green room, and you had a guitar. You didn't do a guitar. You were just like, I just like it. And you were teaching yourself guitar at the time.
Sometimes I bring it. Sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I use it. Sometimes I don't. But the songs that I'm singing now are like, they're great songs to end on.
They're funny.
Funny. Mm-hmm. You know, the difference between, here's the thing. Like, the difference between my songs, I'm not saying I'm as good as Sandler. But they're Sandler-esque. And that Sandler went for the punchline.
Yeah, he knew it. He knew it wasn't about the song. Right. It's about the comedy. Barely, and that's the thing, is you're a comic first. Yes. You're not a musician trying to do stand-up. That's a big difference.
So he barely strummed. Yep. You know, he would just go bling, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I do it. I do it for the joke. And
well, I heard rave reviews from it.
Well, thank you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yay!
I feel better right now on stage than I ever have in my life.
Really?
I left Jacksonville. Then the weekend before I was in Charlotte, and I was like, I feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I left Jacksonville like, and I don't say this very often, and I'm very hard on myself, but people who come now are getting a good, like, I'm confident that they're getting
a really good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting their money's worth.
Right now, I feel like all four wheels are on the track.
That's great.
It's
a wonderful place to be, man. I think we all strive for that, you know?
It takes, and listen, I think you bump off.
Like, for sure.
The material that I'm doing right now, mm-hmm. how I'm doing it, the order I'm doing it in, I'm just locked in. I'm just locked in. A lot of that is because I'm on stage. You know, I'm doing 6 1-hour sets a week.
Oh, I'm so jealous of that.
And sometimes
I don't get jealous of a lot of things, but I am jealous of being able to do 6 hours a week of stand-up.
Because
that's real freedom, man. That's fucking real freedom because that's an hour, like... And I remember, like, I'm going through, I've done all of the jobs, you know what I mean? And they're all very fascinating in their own right. Like, hosting, I think there is a beautiful art to that. Mm-hmm. Being able to, like, again, it's like organizing chaos. It's like a bunch of, you have to organize this group of strangers and make them into one entity of an audience.
I've never heard it put that way, but that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think featuring, I remember when I first started featuring, I was like, I don't ever want a headline. I just want to be the highest paid feature in the country because it was such a sweet spot.
Great gig.
You get to come in, you get to dazzle them a little bit and then leave and the pressure's off you. It's such a fun place to be.
That's why if you go on the road with someone who's like, when I traveled with Chelsea or mm-hmm. when I traveled with Larry the Cable Guy, I was like, this gig is
the best. Oh, and that's why I've seen a lot of people here who like get stuck in that little spot because they'll just go out with really,
it's comedy,
really
crack.
Big. Yeah.
Because you make decent money, but mm-hmm. you never move forward because the truth of the matter is I opened for Larry the Cable Guy for 3 years and nobody left that show remembering who the fuck
I
was.
Nope.
They didn't care.
Yeah, can't build a fan base like that, you know?
Well, specifically with people with cult of personality like Larry.
Yeah.
Like, there are some other headlines. That's a very unique.
I did with Chelsea because that crowd knew me already.
Well, you were also on the show a bunch, too.
He's
also
a rock star.
It's crazy. We played a town with 50,000 people, and he sold 10,000 tickets.
Jesus Christ. One in five were at the
Take
show.
Take away old people and people young who couldn't go to the show, young people. That's an overwhelming percentage of that town.
For sure.
You know what his strategy was? And I know you got to go, but this was fascinating.
No, it was
fine. This was fascinating to me. So when I traveled with him, I'd be like, man, we're never in New York or we're never in Boston. He goes, I don't play the A markets that much. I go, why? And he said, what am I competing with?
Everything?
Why am I going to compete with everybody? But I can play the B markets,
you know,
the C towns.
Yeah, he's like,
you know,
college
that, that's
football.
Fucking Walmart is what that is. That's how Walmart built their own shit. Football.
It's exactly what, those yeah. are both exactly right. Yeah. And so he's like, look, their money, and he's really strict. He goes, I would rather do a, if I'm doing 5,000 seater, I would rather pay, charge, for, he never charged over $47.50 for any ticket. Mm-hmm. But I'll do two shows for 10,000 instead of one show with 5,000 people at 100 a ticket. Right. He said for a bunch of reasons. One, I have now 5,000 more fans. Two, I'm selling 5,000 more people merch, and they have more money to buy merch.
Yeah, because they didn't spend $100 just to get in.
Right, and they have the option of not buying merch and still being able to afford to see him.
It's really, it was genius. And the B market thing was so smart. He was
that
like,
sounds like Jeff Foxworthy, if you're asking me.
Well, I'll tell you. You know,
well, that's where he got it from.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I used to write for Foxworthy mm-hmm. on Fifth Grader, mm-hmm. and I was the guy who had his ear, right? So mm-hmm. if he needed a joke, you know, I would whisper him in his ear.
You would riff to him, yeah.
And now, so he's a super Christian, proper dude. Uh-huh. And I would whisper shit in his ear that was just awful.
Yeah.
So one time there's this woman, and she's trying to decide which planet is closest to the Earth. And she goes, let me think on that. And he, you know, gave me the signal they needed a joke. And I just whispered to him, tell her you can smell her pussy. And he just turned around from the audience. He started laughing, and he just shook his finger like that, which means another joke. Yeah, another joke. Yeah. but he had such a great sense of humor. And yeah. I took the job, and I told him, I said, I'm going to take this job, not because I need the money and not because I need the work, because you're going to promise me that at least a half an hour a day, I get to pick your brain about comedy.
Yeah.
And he right. was like, deal. And he asked me later why, and I go, man, like, how
you like, people can shit on him all they want. He revolutionized, like, how to build a fan base. Uh-huh. He literally took
branding.
he looked at the country and goes, these people are being neglected as far as like being entertained, and I'm gonna tap into that. It was the same thing with like that's the same reason I don't shit on Dane Cook, is because he did the same thing with the college market. You know what I mean?
How are you shitting on somebody who's so ultra uber successful? Right. I don't find Dane to be, and although his newer material is way better than his older material,
for sure. You could tell when he first started. You know, his first album, I liked it, and it got progressively bad because they were asking so much of him to produce so much so fast.
But you know what he is, and I will tell you this.
And then when Isolated Incident came out, when that came out, I was like, oh shit, he's a real person.
Yeah.
When he talked different. About his own life. And then it started, stuff like that.
What he also is, and always has been to me, is one of the best performers I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were times where I'm like, I don't think this is funny, but I can't stop watching this guy.
Right.
He was so, and I'd go to the Laugh Factory, and I'd see the effect he had on the crowd. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this dude, it may not be my thing, but how do you knock that? How do you knock Foxworthy, who I believe has the two top-selling comedy albums of all time?
Yeah.
Two top-selling. And if you look like in the top 10 or top 20, I think between him and Cable Guy, they have four or five in the top 20 of all time. And so, yeah, you're right. Foxworthy taught all of us how to brand.
For sure.
You know, you might be a redneck, all that shit. He's the one who really jumped out in front of
that. And that's the thing, is people shit on a gimmick and stuff like that, and that's fine. You don't have to do that, but you can still use what he's teaching you, which is you take the gimmick part out, you put something else in, and you still use all of the structure and everything else.
And I'll tell you something else about the guitar. And one of the reasons, and I got to go too, but one of the reasons I didn't play guitar for a long time is because our community is very small. And I was hyper aware of what other comics say about a guitar.
For sure.
Now, I never was going to be a guitar act. Like, I was just going to do some songs at the end or whatever. But I always was like, yeah, I don't want to. And then I hit an age and a level where I was like, I could give a fuck. Right. My job is to entertain the people who come to see me. And the people who come to see me like to hear these stupid fucking songs. And I could give a fuck. And since that time, it's freed up.
It's freeing.
In my comedy, it's freedom.
Liberating.
It's so much better. It's so much better.
That's an LA thing, to play to the back of the room. That's the comics in the back.
This is my worst. This town is my hardest town.
Yeah.
Far and away my hardest town to play.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling Carmen that when I can't work out new material in front of audiences in LA, and I have some new jokes that have a physical aspect to them,
And it's like, I don't even know how to work those out here because people are so, like, the other comics that I'm around are going to just shit talk it. They're going to be so jaded about.
What I really, here's one thing I can honestly say, and I say this to people who, by the way, and I wanted to tell you, and I told you when you featured for me, you're super funny.
Thanks, buddy.
You're super, super funny and very specific and different than anybody I'd ever seen. But I didn't tell you this because I didn't feel like you needed to hear it, but like, because I could tell by the way you were just up there and you were very free, that you're not scared to fail.
Yeah.
But I always tell people, you gotta fail. And because the people in front of you in that room that you're failing in front of ultimately have nothing to do
sure.
with whether you're going to be successful
absolutely.
Or you're not going to be successful. The only person that has something to do with that is you. And if you're holding yourself back because sure. of what these inconsequential people might think, you're going to fuck yourself.
Right, right.
That was the thing is he told me the premise of the bit and I was like, oh, that an act out would be really funny. And then he's like, oh, I can't. And I'm like, you fucking well, better.
My
you
problem
need to
with
do
that
it.
Is
you don't
just
want Sebastian?
No, I'm not. I'm getting misunderstood right now. What I'm saying is it's hard to hone the timing
and
the actual physicality of the act out because people are so jaded to that kind of comedy.
But you're still
doing
it.
It's not that I'm afraid to do it.
Yeah.
It's just it's hard to
do it.
It's still hard to hone it and get it right until I get out of town.
But so there are some places like that are less
I don't think
jaded.
You were scared to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ice House. I was just encouraging.
No. Ice House is always
for sure.
Ice House is always nice.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there tonight.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, that seems like it's more of a real crowd.
Yeah.
Flappers gets more of a real crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear what you're saying about some of the bigger places. But, man, it took me so long to not be scared
right.
to fail. It took me so long to... Because we don't get on stage because we're secure with ourselves. We get on stage because we're looking for approval. And approval is not silence. So when you get that laugh, you're like, well, I need this forever. And so it's scary not to get that thing that you initially got on stage for, which was approval.
And I've seen there's comics like that are so addicted to that sound that they won't leave their comfort zone. You know what I mean? And
same set.
I think same set. Or we've worked with guys on the road like that have been doing the same act because it worked, and they're too scared to do anything new because they don't want to eat a dick. Especially if you've like already moved up to the ranks and you're headlining, you don't want to take a risk. You know, if this is my first time working at this club, I want to get invited back. You have all of this fucking pressure and shit, all this bullshit. It's not freeing for you to be able to take those risks. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about like these, a lot of the DIY rooms that aren't comedy clubs and stuff like that, because those people are going there not knowing what to expect, you know? And it's, you get to take more risks and feel safer doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what happens if you don't get invited back to whatever fuck rock bar ever again? Nothing.
And I don't know about you guys, but
but if you get fucking negated from one of the 27 comedy clubs in the country, whatever, how many fucking there are, it's like fucking excruciating. That hurts my heart.
But I, when I, in the past, have been nervous to do something and I did it, even if it failed, I actually left
you
feeling
good.
You
feel good.
Yep.
I'm like, that did not beat me. Yeah. It didn't beat me. I didn't do it well, but it didn't beat me. Right. And then that next thing you're scared to do, you're like, well, I actually came out the other one fine. So I'm going to give this one a shot too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The worst thing that happens is they don't laugh.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
No. No.
Nobody's going to hurt you.
No. Well.
Unless, I mean.
Another elbow.
Another elbow right in the face.
It's the only way I learned.
I gotta go, guys.
Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
You got anything you want to plug? Tell them about your podcast again.
ComedianJoshWolf.com for tour dates, but I'm taking like a month and a half off, the first month and a half in like 3 years.
Nice.
And I won't have a date until the last weekend in July. I'm in Dallas at the Improv. At Josh Wolf Comedy for social media. And then I do a podcast with Freddie Prinze Jr. called Prince and the Wolf. And he's just really fucking interesting.
Yeah? Nice.
Funny. Super funny.
Freddie and the Wolf. That's funny.
Super funny. Prince and the
Wolf.
Prince and the Wolf.
Super funny. Super down to earth. Amazing stories.
Mm-hmm.
I've had so much fun doing that with him. So I'm pretty psyched about that right now.
That's great.
Yeah,
yay!
Man.
All right. Thank you so much
for being on, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And remember, always find us at No Sir Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And please email us at No Sir I Don't Like It Podcast @gmail.com with all of your don't likes. Gotta go.
Bye.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What the stupid one?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.